Joshua chapter 18, we are dealing with verses 11 through 19, chapter 19, verse 51. If we can get through that much material, there's not a lot of comment or remarks that can be made. At least I'm not one that could make a lot of comments and remarks on all those. But maybe God, as He does at times, He gives us things that we didn't even study and reveals things to us as we preach. But once more, now that all the tribes have been taken care of, the other tribes, half the tribe Manasseh and Reuben and Gad on the other side on the east of Jordan, and we see that Judah and Joseph, which included Manasseh and Ephraim, see now these tribes finally woke up and realized that they weren't in heaven yet, and they had to go occupy their earthly inheritance and inhabit them, Joshua encouraging them to do so. We saw in the last time that they were kind of wandering around in the promised land instead of doing what they needed to do. We entitled this "The Remaining Inheritance of the Remaining Tribes." Actually, that kind of bleeds over to chapter 20 because we have the tribe of Levi, which is also received cities as opposed to lots, as we see here. So, but here, we could actually entitle this message "Lots of Lots," because that's what we have, lots of lots here in this passage. And we need to recall and what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. That is true of all Scripture. Now, we may, it's troublesome, it's hard, and when we do it with the genealogies and geographies, but nonetheless, God's Word is true, and I trust God will be faithful to reveal a few things and nuggets from this passage. We think of our country's present battle with the borders and the legislation involved with that, and we have some common ground with this text that borders are important. And the Lord has said in His Word, as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." The bottom line is borders are biblical. And so as we consider this passage, we're going to, it divvies up nicely according to the various tribes that are left. And as we'll see, Joshua also we will deal with, God willing. But so now let's first of all look in beginning in verse 11. The inheritance for Benjamin begins there in verse 11. "And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph." Now, I'm going to, God willing, in all of this, try to bring out some things about the particular tribe and how it relates to their boundaries and so forth and to their history. If you recall, Jacob had given a blessing and description about the various tribes or his sons. And it says there in Genesis 49:27, "Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." Benjamin was the youngest, and that probably wouldn't have natively come from Jacob's heart to say those things, but it was something that was divinely inspired. And as we look at the description of day and night, it speaks of his beginnings and his endings. And we see that Benjamin indeed did follow that description. He was like a ravening wolf, We find, first of all, remember the Levite's concubine that they had cut in pieces. The cruelty and the just the savageness and viciousness that they treated that concubine and divided up between the tribes. And then we find also that they were very aggressive and militant. If you recall, upon that situation there in Judges, we find that they came against them and came against them and came against them because of their sodomy, actually, and their sexual immorality. That which 20,000 of them defeated 400,000 Israelites. So they were great fighters. They were savage and vicious. And we find that King Saul was also of the tribe of Benjamin, who fiercely persecuted David. And we see that that they had allied themselves with Judah and divided the spoil. And we find that Esther and Mordecai were also of the tribe of Benjamin as well. We know, though, that the most famous of them all was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. And we find that he ravaged as a wolf against the people of God, but he ended up ravaging Satan's kingdom through his evangelistic efforts and God's blessing upon him. And of course, we find that the later things that were said, that Moses said about Benjamin, his descriptions and blessings, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. There in Deuteronomy 33 and 12, much of what we'll be dealing with in each tribe is going to be found in Genesis 49, Deuteronomy chapter 33. One was of Jacob. One was of what Moses said, but they had a special occupation or place, being between God's shoulders, if you will. The temple where the Lord would dwell was in. It was situated within the tribe, this tribe, their territory, and it was such that that for Jerusalem, the holy city, was actually within the bounds of Benjamin. We see in verse 28, the city of David was supposed to belong to Judah, yet Mount Moriah, on which the temple was built, was in Benjamin's lot. And so now we see the description here in verse 12, and their border on the north side was from Jordan. The border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side and came up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof, and we'll remember the mountains here a little bit later, out thereof were at the wilderness of Bethaven, and the border went over from thence unto Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to Adaroth Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth-horon. And the border was drawn thence and compassed a corner of the sea southward from the hill that lieth before Beth-horon southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath-Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah, which was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-Jearim, and the border went out on the west and went out to the well of waters of Nephtoah. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and it descended to the valley of Hinnom on the side of Jebusai, and on the south, and descended to Enrogel, and was drawn from the north, and went forth to Enshemeth, and went forth toward Geliloth, which is over against the going up of Adummim, and descended to the stone of Bohan and the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Arabah northward and went down into Arabah, and the border passed along to the side of Beth Hogla northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast, and Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof, round about according to their families. Just a note of hope. This is the longest description of all of them. And of course, Benjamin was special to Jacob. We see the history behind these tribes. The way that they acted had a bearing on what they inherited. In other words, what we do affects other people. It affects other generations to come. And we see that reflected here as we look at the various boundaries here. But now in verse 21, now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Hogla, and on in the valley of Kiziz, and Beth Araba, and Zemaraim, and Bethel, and Avim, and Pera, and Ophrah, and Kephar, Ammoni, and Jophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon, and Ramah, and Beeroth, and Mizpah, and Kephira, and Moza, and Rechem, and Irbil, and Teralah, and Zelah, and Eleph, and Jebusai, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath, and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. So Benjamin received the hill country. You know, another good thing I like about this map is it shows you some of the topography of the how it was, what was mountainous, hilly, and so forth, and what was flat. But their particular country was a hill country south of Ephraim and north of Judah. And the allotment was about 26 miles going east and west, and 12 miles wide going north and south. And it was a rough terrain with mountains and ravines, with the Jordan River on the east and the Dan, a tribe of Dan, on the west. It wasn't, therefore, very productive because of that, as far as farmland and things of that nature. But though it wasn't productive, it was protective. That kind of terrain is very protective when it comes to defense. They almost got the walls built in with the mountains and everything around it. So they were blessed by that as well, not to mention the fact that they were surrounded in the north and the south. They had Ephraim and Manasseh and all them, and also Judah there in the south. So now we come to the inheritance of Simeon, and it says in verse 1 of chapter 18, and the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. The portion which had been given to Judah was more extensive than all the rest. Now, if you recall, that in verse 9, it says that out of a portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. So it seems Judah being very gracious, not being greedy, they were willing to allow Simeon to have a portion in God's providence. And it's interesting how that Simeon, though, did not have quite as much. There were cities, more or less. And we find that, if you recall, remember Simeon and Levi and how they dealt with Dinah, you know, their daughter. And as they went to Shechem and were trying to seek revenge because they had humiliated her in the way that they the head of Shechem had done, And they did. They were quite cruel in the way they treated them. And so Jacob said, "Cursed is your anger. Anger, sinful anger, is something that can curse not only you, but it also can curse your family and those about you. So it's something we have to be very, very careful of. It's a strong emotion, and it's something that can just come up just like that. Satan knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to get us to do certain things. He knows us. He observes us better than we realize. But because of that, of the noble conduct that we see in Levi later, we see that with Aaron and with Moses and others, that they were been given the priesthood, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, and to make atonement there in Numbers 25, 6 through 13. And so there were 48 cities that were scattered throughout the inheritance. We're not talking about just land that has to be built and has to have a lot of labor. The cities were already there. They just had to move in. It was, what do you call those? An open key or I forgot what they call that. But anyway, you go in the house and it's ready to go. Turnkey kind of piece of property, a house on it. You don't have to do anything. You just move in. So that's the kind of situation. So God bless them in their repentance and doing what was right. And so, but Simeon, though he had been widely scattered, God still gave him an inheritance. We see in verse 2, and they had in their inheritance Beersheba, or Sheba, and Moladah, and Hazer Shul, and Bela, and Azim, and Etolad, and Bethul, and Hormah, and Ziglag, and Bethmar, Kaboth, and Hazer, Susa, and Beth Lebaloth, and Sheruhin, 13 cities and their villages, Ain, and Remen, and Ether, and Ashan, 4 cities and their villages, and all the villages were round about these cities, Baalath-Beer and Ramath of the south. This is the inheritance of the children of the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon, for the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. So, again, theirs was unique. It was consisted of towns within the southwestern section of Judah. It was mostly flat and desert and somewhat vulnerable to the enemies of the south, but they were within Judah, which was for their defense as well. So now, thirdly, we come to inheritance of Zebulun. The third lot came up for the children of Zebulun according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid. Now, first of all, let's look at the part of Zebulun as far as Israel as a nation. There's not a whole lot recorded about them, but every time that there was mention made of Zebulun, it was highly commendable. We find in Judges chapter 5, Deborah celebrates the song of victory over Jabin and Sisera and reports the parts that were played by the different tribes. And there in Judges 5:18 it says, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto death in the high places of the field. Then we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Verses 23 and 33, speaking of them, came to David in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank, they were not of double hearts. And then we find that Jacob foretelling of Zebulun. says, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. And then Moses says, and of Zebulun, he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, in Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and the treasures hid in the sand. There in Deuteronomy 33. So thy going out and the sucking of the abundance of the seas was their accomplishment in ocean trading and fishing and things of that nature. And then in the New Testament, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, it speaks of the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, which adjoined it, was the Galilee of the Gentiles. The very place where Christ had walked and preached many times. And it says concerning that place, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is the shadow of death, light is sprung up. So while Jesus tabernacled among men, he preached and the apostles preached there on those shores and wrought many miracles in that very region. So now we continue through this description in verse 11. Their border went up toward the sea and Marilah and reached to Dabbesheth and reached to the river that is before Jokneam, and turned toward Sarid, eastward toward the sun rising, into the border of Chisloth Tabor, and then goeth out Dabarath, and goeth up to Japhia, and from thence passeth along on the east to Gittahepher, to Ittah-Kazin, and goeth out to Rimmon Methor, to Nea, and the border compasseth it on the north side to Hanathon, and the goings, the outgoings thereof were are in the valley of Jiphthael, and Kata, and Nahalel, and Shimron, and Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities in their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. So Zebulun was the southern Galilee, with Asher in the northwest, and Naphtali in the northeast, Issachar on the southeast, and Manasseh on the southwest, where the river Kishon formed its border. So it was a fertile plain. It was included the plain of Megiddo. It was a road to the sea. The river Gishon ran from the east to the west into the Mediterranean. So the current flowed in such a way that it was a road or a passage right into the sea, that particular river there. And so it was a very productive region. But now, as far as the children of Issachar, the inheritance for Issachar, in verse 17, and the fourth lot came out to Issachar for the children of Issachar according to their families. Now, seeing how this was, if you recall, was united with Zebulun in its blessing, there's less need for us to make a lot of remarks on this, but the in their tents was the fact that they will be more of a pastoral people that would cultivate the land. And their inheritance was, as you might would expect, being that kind of people and that kind of land, was a fertile plain of Jezreel with the surrounding hills and valleys, now afterwards known as Lower Galilee, over there towards the extending to Carmel, to Jordan, and the breadth to Mount Tamar. And Shunem was one of its cities, and Naboth Vineyard was actually with in this lot. And of course, we got, you know, God knows how to put us in different places. That's what I get from this Some of us are more adapted to city life. Some of us are more adapted to country life. Some of us are more mechanically inclined, and some of us are more involved with books and reading and study and things of that nature. So we all have our particular gift, and God puts us just in the right place at that particular phase of life that we're in. And so often we think of the grass being greener on the other side, and we just have to sometimes just say, Lord, wherever you want me, I want to plant. Wherever you plant me, I want to grow right there. And until you move me, I will grow right there. And it's you know, the saying is, a rolling stone doesn't gather much moss. Well, a rolling stone is dead, isn't it? A plant is living, and it produces fruit. Now, I understand Paul traveled a lot and all that, but that's what God called him to. But now in verse 18 it says, and their border was toward Jezreel and Chesuloth and Shudim and Hephraim and Shion and Anaharath and Habith and Kishion and Abez and Remeth and Enganim and Enhada and Beth Pazes, and the coast reacheth to Tabor, and Shehazimah, and Bethshemesh, and the outgoings of their border were at Jordan, 16 cities and their villages, with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities and their villages. So we see their inheritance was the east end of the valley of Jezreel, with Mount Gilboa range there to the south, and bordering on West Manasseh, and on the hills of Lower Galilee and the tribe of Naphtali on the north. The east was the Jordan River, the west was Zebulun and West Manasseh. It was a beautiful location in the trading routes and traffic of the plain. It was a very productive land. And then, as far as the inheritance for Asher, in verse 24, in the fifth lot, came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. Asher, by the way, means happy. And it has reference to when, I believe it was Leah, if I'm not mistaken, when that child was born, she named it Asher, because she was happy about that. So Jacob's blessing upon Asher is recorded in Genesis 49:20. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. And then Moses' blessing in Genesis Deuteronomy 33:24-5, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Brother Powell would say that last part of that verse oftentimes. But nothing else is much said about Asher. But like their brethren, you find in the next book of Judges, they didn't drive out all the heathen inhabitants from their inheritance. However, a good thing that is said about them during Hezekiah's reign. Remember Hezekiah's reign? There was revival in the land. And they sent out posts to tell people about the services, special services there in Jerusalem. And many of the people mocked them and ridiculed them as they did that. But we see there in 2 Chronicles 30:11, nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So they certainly, during that time, ate of the royal dainties. And their shoes endured like iron as they remained steadfast and endured to the end, as it were. But the most well-known person that we know of the tribe of Asher is found there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Notice she didn't usurp authority. She was just simply thanking God for Christ. And so moving on to Asher's particular boundaries and their borders. In verse 25, and their border was Helkath and Halai and Beten and Akshaph and Alamelech and Amad and Mishael, and reached to Carmel westward and Shihor Libnath, and turned toward the sunrise into Beth Dagon, and reached to Zebulun to the valley of Shiphthael toward the north side of Bethamech and Neiel, and goeth out to Cabel on the left hand, and Hebron and Rehob and Hammon and Cana, even unto great Zidon, and then the coast turneth to Ramah, to the strong city of Tyre, and the coast turneth to Hosa, and the outgoings thereof are at the sea from the coast of Akzib, and Ummah, and Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. So southern border was there on Mount Carmel, and the western part of the Kishon River. The northern came near Sidon and the Litani River. And the western border was the Mediterranean Sea. The eastern border was the western slope of Galilean hills bordering the tribe of Naphtali. So it had fertile coastal plains and was famous, that particular area was famous for olives. And no doubt the olive oil, much of the olive oil came from that area. And now we come to Naphtali, the sixth lot, verse 32, came out to the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali, according to their families. We see that Jacob had likened Naphtali to a hind let loose, and foretold he giveth goodly words. And Moses spoke of him as having a full with the blessing of the Lord. And we see that Jesus, or the Lord, Jesus in Psalms 22, was called the hind of the morning because of swiftness to do the Father's will. The cities of Capernaum and Bethsaida were the borders of Naphtali and were filled with the blessing of the Lord. We see that Christ and his apostles did much of their preaching, goodly words there. And there, so now we see, and their coast was from Heleph and from Alan and to Zaananim and Adami and Nekeb and Jabneel and Lakum, and the outgoings thereof were at Jordan. And then verse 34, and then the coast turneth westward to Asnoth Tabor, and goeth out from thence to Hukkok, and reacheth to Zebulun to the south side, reacheth to Asher on the west side, to Judah upon Jordan toward the sun rising. And the fence, interesting that the only one that describes fence cities is this particular tribe of Naphtali. All the rest of them don't mention them as being fenced or fortified cities. The fenced cities were Zidim, Zer, and Hamath, and Rakath, and Chinnereth, and Adama, and Ramah, and Hazor, and Kedesh, and Edrei, and Enhazor, and Iron, and Migdal, and Horam, and Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities and their villages. So it's a little bit harder to trace Naphtali's borders, but it lay there between Mount Tabor to the south. On your map, I think it just says Tabor. And on the northern border of Issachar, and the northern border, the Litani River, also on the east, it touched the upper Jordan River and covered all the eastern and central Galilee. And the western border touched the borders of the tribe of Asher and Zebulun, with the southwest bordering the Sea of Galilee. The north, it had a north-south ridge in it throughout the land. It was fertile and very productive valleys. And now the seventh lot we come to, the inheritance for Dan. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan according to their families. We find that at Genesis 30 about his origin and was brought up. He was to be in the rear of the congregation when they marched. And so they were the last to receive their inheritance. Jacob likened Dan to a serpent, and Moses and his as a lion's whelp. Samson was also from this tribe of Dan. And Samson, really kind of both characteristics were reminiscent of Samson. Dan was the first tribe to fall into idolatry, however, if we look over in Judges chapter 1, or Judges 18, verse 30, and apparently remained in an awful condition of idolatry for centuries, for we find the apostate king Jeroboam setting his golden calves in where? Bethel and Dan. But now the coast of their inheritance there in verse 41 was Zorah and Eshtaol and Ershemesh and Shealaban and Ajalon and Jephla and Elon and Thimnatha and Ekron and Eltika and Gibbethon and Baalath and Jehud and Benabirak and Gathrimim and Mejarkon and Rakon and the border with a border before Japho. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it. That's a good thing about them. And they dwelt therein and called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan. According to their families, these cities with their villages. So their territory was west of Benjamin. Benjamin's, and it was Ephraim and Manasseh on the north and Judah on the south. This particular one, the western border, was on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a productive land. However, much of it lay in the Philistine hands for most of their history. And now, finally, we come to the inheritance of Joshua. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. Now, here we have the greatest of them, and who had led them into the conquest of Canaan. Instead of seeking first his portion, we see he waited till everyone else received their inheritance. A great example, as we see Jesus, he was a type of Christ, the way that Christ gave himself and he suffered. He thought more of us than himself as he died on the cross. And so he put it, the public good before his private interests. And again, he came and he dwelt among the children of Israel like Jesus did, not with a bunch of pomp and ceremony, but in poverty, as it were, providing rest for us, and he himself didn't have a place to lay his head. So now in verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah and Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. Joshua didn't seize his portion as a right. I have a right to this. What did he do? He asked. He asked for it. What, you know, when we think of leaders, we think of those who are the type 1 personality or type A, whatever you call it, that just throw their weight around. Well, Joshua, now, he didn't have to. He was trusting the Lord, and the Lord was in control. If something had to be done, it required a lot of power and might. He just looked to God and asked him. So anyway, we find that they had given them, right in the middle there of Ephraim, Timnath-Serah is right near north central Ephraim. And then in verse 51, these are the inheritances with Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. So as we come to a close here, a brief close, we see that it's interesting as we, this section here, in the divvying up the land, aside from, again, Levi, the tribe of Levi, because, of course, this was a connection to cities of refuge, a little bit different. But it begins by granting the inheritance to Caleb, and it ends with granting the inheritance to Joshua. And who were these two guys? They were the guys that went into the promised land and made a good report about it, of the 12 spies. They were the ones that fully followed the Lord. They were, you know, we see that it began positive with Caleb, and then there was some negative in there right in between, because they didn't drive out all the inhabitants and some other things, and it ends in a positive note with Joshua. And they stand out, Joshua and Caleb stand out as opposites to the slackness of many of their compadres, and they live their lives consistently, faithfully following the Lord, fully following the Lord all the way to the end of their life. And may we follow their example of diligence and faithfulness to the end, following the example of the captain of our salvation, who will grant us the victory, and all those who are the meek of the earth, we shall inherit the earth. So may we, by God's grace, conquer in the spiritual conflict that we have in this time and possess our possessions. Well, thank you for your kind patience and attention to God's word. We will begin.